Mindfeed with Nora Casey on News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back to Mindfeed. You're here with me, Nora Casey. Now, I'm joined by a thoroughly inspirational young woman who, although extremely unique in her own circumstances, she's been a tremendous game changer in how people with disabilities are perceived, not just in Ireland, but actually globally. While most able-bodied 18-year-olds with four functioning limbs are still contemplating what they're going to do in life, Joanna Reardon has already challenged the Taoiseach at 15 on disability allowances, went to the UN at 16 and challenged the tech community to build her a robot. Her TED Talk is a testament to her articulation. Now, a movie has been made about her life so far, and as of Friday, it's released in cinemas nationwide. Let's just have a listen to it.
My name is Joanna Reardon, and firstly, I'd like to thank all of those at the United Nations and the people from the International Telecommunication Union for this amazing and unique opportunity to speak here in front of you today. Being invited to New York the week of my 16th birthday is simply unbelievable. As you could see, I was born without my limbs, but my motto in life is no limbs, no limits. I don't want to live in the shadow of others because I want to make my own journey in life. And I know if I'm given the chance, I can and will succeed.
She's a national hero and she joins me now. Joanne, you're very welcome to Mindfeed. First, for those people, I suppose, who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit more about tetraamelia syndrome?
It basically means that you were born without your limbs and there's no real explanation as to like why that ever happened. And the whole kind of unique situation with this total amelia is that there's only six other people in the world like me. So there's about seven in total, we think. So, yeah, that's what makes it so pretty unique.
And then for people who don't know you and how adept you are at doing things, you're very self-sufficient, especially on an iPhone.
I always kind of like, I don't know, I always kind of want to be kind of independent, you know, and I'm a teenager now, so I kind of feel like, you know, taking on the world and I can win and all that jazz. So, I try and do everything, by myself.
Yeah, and the movie now, it came out on Friday. I know it was launched last year and it's been to the Jemison Film Festival, but it's actually out in cinemas now. It was done by your brother, Stephen. Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, well, Stephen, he's obsessed with making films and documentaries and all that kind of stuff. And like my brother Danny, he even nicknamed him Steven Spielberg because he always spoils everything. We were always kind of filming me anyway, you know, with those the block Panasonic cameras from like a young age, you know, that's just kind of what we do. Then he decided, 2 years ago, I think it was two years ago, that he was going to like make a proper thing of this, a storyline was after developing, with the whole UN thing and things like that. So that's how we kind of decided.
Was it difficult to watch some of the scenes? Like, you're lucky, I've seen all the trailers for it and everything, and it's very inspirational, but it goes back to when you were a baby and, your mum and your dad and how difficult it all was.
Yeah, well, I suppose for me it was just kind of cringy, kind of watching myself, because I've never ever watched myself back, like, even all my Late Show interviews, UN speech, whatever, like, I never watched them. And I know even, like, when I do speeches and stuff, if they do decide to play it, I actually don't even bother watch it. I kind of look down and stare into my phone and kind of pretend I'm not there, that kind of thing.
Do you remember much about your childhood, I suppose? Do you remember the things, you couldn't do? Were you conscious of your differences?
No, not really. Like, I mean, I always kind of grew up, like, I grew up in an area where, like, everyone kind of knew me from birth, So I was kind of lucky that way, so no one ever kind of, picked out the differences. But, then when you go outside of Mill Street or wherever, go outside of Cork, then I suppose you have, like, the one or two, like, small kids, like toddlers going, oh, she has no hands and legs, whatever. But, to me, like, that doesn't bother me. Like, they're just being inquisitive. And I know if I was in their situation, I would be probably the exact same.
And what do you say to them? How do you deal with that?
Well, their mother usually takes them away before anything is said, so it's fairly awkward that way. But sometimes if they hang around, sometimes I talk away to them, pretty normal. So, if they're just regular, they're just being inquisitive. Like, I can't really say anything against that. Like, I mean, they're kids at the end of the day. They don't have any menace in what they say.
Family, I know, is very important to you. I've spoken to your mum, Anne, before, and I know that you grew up believing that you could be anything you ever wanted to be in the world. And what did you want to be?
Well, when I was younger, like, as a 5-year-old, I wanted to be a Pokemon trainer and all those kind of things. Like, I thought I could do anything. I was like a fireman and everything. But now I'm hoping to become a journalist, hopefully a sports journalist. And the big aim is to have my own TV show, so hopefully that will happen soon.
Are you mad about sports?
Yeah, it's a slight obsession. Well, since I was about three, I'd say, my father has said that I have an obsession with sweaty men, so that's how that happened.
Were you always this sweet, lovable person now, Joanne? Or if Anne was here, would she tell us about the rebellious side of the teenager?
I don't tell you about the hormonal teenager that has mental breakdowns that say every hour of the day. No, I'm joking. No, I suppose, you know, I'm just a regular teenager at the end of the day. Like, I do have down days and good days, whatever, you know. And, like, I was reading my, like, it's not a horoscope. It's basically, like, what tree you are. So basically, I think I'm a nutwood, and I was told that I have a really bad temper, and that I'm an egotistical maniac and always want to be the center of attention. So it kind of described me pretty well, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, you're saying you're a regular teacher, but you're not really, you're no ordinary young woman. Like, you challenged Enda Kenny. Now, just at that time, I know we've spoken about it and you've spoken about it, but did you know when you challenged him the impact that might have, the power that you had to change things?
No, not really, to be honest. Like, I mean, I was just having a general conversation with him, you know. I mean, it's typical things, you know. I mean, he just came to Ministries and I wanted to see him, so I just went up and saw him. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I mean, I never thought, you know, that it would become this big entire situation, but it did. And, you know, I mean, it's still grand to this day. Like, I mean, I still like Enda Kenny. People find that hard to believe, but I still like him. And we have the same birthday.
Do you? Have you chatted to him since?
Yeah, geez, I met him at the People of the Year Awards in 2012. So he told me that he did his research and he found out that we had the same birthday. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, but I kind of do that, but I didn't want to say anything. So I was kind of standing there going, oh yeah, we do we?
Then you went to the... Listen, when I say you're no ordinary young woman, then you went to the UN. How did that invite come about?
Well, it came out after the Late Late Show. So basically, a man called Paul Keneally, like, he's Irish but based in Geneva. He was organising a conference for girls in technology. So you know, he saw my Late Late Show interview and he saw how obsessed with technology I was, and you know how much it made an impact on my life. So then he decided to invite me over because I was, like, apparently the perfect candidate. You know, being a girl obsessed with technology, and basically. You know, that's how all that came about. And then I went up and did my speech and it all happened, you know, on the week of my 16th birthday as well, you know, which is a big thing in America. So they made a big kind of deal out of it as well. So it was pretty cool.
Were you nervous?
No, not really. Like, I mean, they're just regular people only in fancy suits. So, you know.
And you used the occasion to kind of challenge the tech community to produce a robot.
Yeah, well, you know, they asked me, you know, what was my wish for... You know, for me personally, and I said it was to build me a robot. And I remember even writing the speech, like, you know, myself and Stephen, he was like, you can't say that. And I was like, I can't say that, and I want to say that. So we just put it down, like, and I mean, we kind of, it's not that we thought anything more of it, but we kind of, like, you know, we were kind of naive. We thought a robot would just be built and given to me on the spot, you know, that kind of thing. But then obviously, when we picked Trinity and started working closely with them, we kind of thought that it's kind of a very long process.
And last month I saw Robbie the Robot was unveiled by Trinity Engineers. Have you had a chance to try out the prototype?
Yeah, well, at the moment, like I suppose I think prototype one is kind of like the physical shape of him, you know. It doesn't really do anything yet, you know. I mean, that was kind of the big thing to get. So I suppose now stage two and stage three is all about getting it to do the things that I wanted to do. And, you know, my father says it's like a shopping list, you know. I mean, you kind of upgrade it every so often, you know, so it does different things as you go along with it.
And what do you want him to do?
So he's going to do all the, like, basic things that, you know, you or your listeners or whatever would take for granted. So he would pick up things that I drop, he would open doors, he would get me a drink from the fridge, get me food from the fridge, or just small things like that.
So he kind of exists independently to you and he obeys your instructions?
Yeah, so I call him the slave without emotions. So that's kind of the best way to phrase it.
Every woman would want somebody like that in their lives.
I know, right? I mean, seriously, I suppose in like 50 years' time, everyone will have one. And, you know, they look back at me at the UN challenging people for a robot, they were like, that's not a challenge.
Joanne, if you're, like, what things can you not do that frustrate you?
Well, I suppose, like, I never really look at things that I kind of can't do. I mean, if I did, you know, it would kind of, like, you know, put me down or put me into, like a, you know, just a bad day, I suppose, whatever. But I never really kind of focus on that kind of aspect, kind of, ever. I don't really know what that is. Like, I never really focus on it, you know, too much. Like, and if I did, it was only a small kind of blip or whatever. But I don't know. I suppose the worst thing is kind of not being able to play sports, but then I... you know, participate by being an obsessive fan, and, you know, people would say stalker, but I don't really know. Like, I mean, that's kind of, I suppose, the worst thing. But, you know, there are ways kind of around things, you know.
How's the studies going for the Leaving Cert?
Yeah, well, they're not too bad, like, to be honest. You know, maybe June Bank. I was asking someone, you know, I was like, you know, I haven't had that mental breakdown yet, you know. When am I going to have it? You know, the Leaving Cert breakdown. And I was told that the latest that someone had theirs was the June Bank holiday weekend. So I was like, that's probably going to be me.
Are you studious?
I suppose the difficulty for me is actually getting started. And then when I'm started, like, I'm grand. But, you know, it takes me forever to just get started and, you know, actually put the head down.
Yeah, and what's your best subjects, actually?
My best subjects, oh Jesus, well, the ones I like the most are English and history. I suppose, you know, I always kind of like English and all writing and stuff, whatever, but, and then history, I'm kind of interested in history anyway, in general, you know, Irish history, you know, Northern Ireland, and all that kind of stuff, so I suppose they'd be my two interested kind of subjects. And then, kind of like the plot twist of it all is that one of my top subjects is actually agricultural science, and I'm not even a farmer. So nobody knows where that came from.
You're going to take a bit of time out before university or plough on?
No, I'm just going to hopefully plough on and continue. Like, I mean, I have considered taking a year out before, you know. I mean, if the documentary did get, you know, kind of big and popular, and, you know, I could travel with it, then I would take a year out. But so far, anyway, I'm just going to plough on and hopefully go off to UL or UCC and hopefully, you know, fulfill my journalist ambitions.
And let's talk about the movie just for a minute, because, you know, obviously we're going to encourage people to go out and look at it and go to the cinema. It's been out since Friday. What's your hopes for that, Joanne? Do you want it to go global?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose being a teenager, I'm kind of expecting an Oscar and all that kind of stuff. You know,
I'm sure you'll get one.
At the end of the day, you know, I suppose I'm hoping that people do go out to it, and when they come out of the film, that they feel inspired and feel that they could kind of like take on the world and, you know, do whatever they want to do, like, you know. So, I mean, that's kind of the main ambition for the film. And if I did get to travel with it, great, you know. If I don't, you know, that's grand as well. Like, I'm not going to cry over it, you know, whatever, because, you know, hopefully with the journalist anyway, like, I'm hoping to, like, be either GA or based in, like, Spanish kind of soccer. So that's kind of the big thing. But I don't know, to be honest. It's hopefully whatever happens will happen, you know.
And Joanne, I suppose the interesting thing is, like, your movie, your film speaks to everybody. Like, you know, does that weigh quite heavily on your shoulders when, you know, I know Stephen did it and you're saying, you know, this is your hopes and your aspirations for it, but actually it's a very big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, I suppose we never really kind of saw kind of what a big deal it was, only Stephen, because, you know, he was into films and movies and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, like, to me, it's just kind of that awkward moment where I can't go to cinema now for 2 weeks because I've just seen my own trailer and I just cringe with embarrassment, you know. So I suppose it's pretty cool, you know, like that. But I suppose there is pressure, but, like, to be honest, as my father would say, pressure is only for tyrants.
And, you know, I was going to ask you, the interesting thing about your brother Stephen is he's an incredible boy in his own right, and I've met him in News Talk Studios many times through other work that he's done. Did he do a good job for you?
Yeah, well, I suppose he did an alright job. I mean, if you get an insult in my house about it, that means you've done well. So, you know, like, if I'm on TV and the brother would ring saying, what the hell are you doing on my TV? That's a good sign because he was actually watching.
You know, this week on the programme, actually, Joanne, we're talking about television. I know you're not allowed to watch too much television when you're studying for your Leaving Cert, but what's your current little addiction on TV?
Home and Away, I'd say, by far, and that's been an obsession, I'd say, with forever, to be honest. So my guilty pleasure is Fair City. Don't ask. Everyone's going to so judge me now after that. And then I suppose my other guilty pleasure would be Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because I enjoy seeing, you know, that side of life and the whole rich aspect. And, you know, I always have this joke with my father that, you know, I'm going to be fairly famous one day and I'm going to have fans lining up the street, you know, wanting my autograph or wanting a picture. So, you know, it's nice seeing that kind of side of life as well. And, you know, I mean, people always give out about the Kardashians, but, I mean, if you're kind of having a down day, I mean, and if you watch it, it gives you kind of like a nice kind of feeling after. You're like, oh, so that's what they... other life is like, whatever, like, I know it's completely exaggerated and whatever, but I don't know, I think that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, no, it's great escapism, and I know you said you were going to be famous, when you're already famous, Joanne. Everyone, do people stop you in the street?
Yeah, people always stop me on the street, no, it's fairly funny, but I don't know, I love when kind of people my own age do it, because, you know, I kind of like being famous amongst, you know, my own kind of peer group, but no, it's pretty cool. Like, I mean, if I kind of, my my big hope is that if I go abroad and if I got recognised, then I'd feel I made it.
The last time I talked to you, you had a bit of a crush on somebody. Who's the current crush?
Oh, God. I was wondering there. I was like, Jesus, I can't even remember that. That's so, like, 2012, I'd say. Jesus, I don't know, to be honest. I'm too busy to have a male species in my life. And the male species are weird anyway, you know. I mean, come on, who really wants them?
You'll have your robot before long.
Exactly. I have Robbie. He'll do me fine.
If people want to know more about No Limbs, No Limits, is there a website, John?
Yeah, it's nolimbsnolimits.net, and you can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at No Limbs, No Limits as well. And, you know, the movie is out from the 11th to the 24th of April in Omniplex and Cineplexes around Ireland. So hopefully people will go out and see it. You know, I mean, we're very excited for it.
Yeah, no, and I think it's going to be a great success. Thanks for joining us on the programme, Joanne, and best of luck with the studies.
Thank you very much.